Well, good morning. And just so you know, I've done this long enough to know that anything I say on the farm bill is going to make me look really stupid probably by the end of the week. But if you think you're tired of hearing about it, from somebody who works for the Congress doing analysis behind the scenes on this thing, and I just recall February 17, 2011 was the first testimony I gave to the Senate's first hearing on it. So I've been working on this quite some time as well. And for those of you who don't do work for the Congress, I don't know how many times I've been called over the weekend or night saying, "We've got to have this in the morning because we're almost done." I told them the last time I got one of those that they were going to get it when they got it. So I think we are close, but just a few caveats. I'm going to go through the status, talk a little bit about where the policy works out for cotton. And some considerations. I'm well beyond moving. I mean, I've moved beyond what is it going to be to how's it going to work, and we'll see how it works. But if you have any questions at the end, I'll be glad to take them. I've been working in Washington long enough before I had any gray hair, so it's been a while. And all I know is until the whole thing is over, it's not over. Because they can blow it up real easy, but it's that close. It is very, very close. I spent a lot of time over the weekend working on a few things for them, and I know that they're more or less done. They're going to come together this week, supposedly, and have the full Congress committee get back together for the first time since they all got together to give their speeches, and they'll move forward from there. I have every expectation, as it says, that this will be done by the end of the month. Could I be wrong? Sure. But one of the things that in the world that I live in, looking at how much the things cost and what programs they are, if they move beyond this month and move into the next Congressional Budget Office scoring cycle, which uses different prices than the previous ones, the whole thing's going to cost a lot more, and the policy is going to be really bad. And so they have a big hammer over their head to move forward. Doesn't mean they will, but they have it. So for all intents and purposes, I'm going to stick a fork in this one and say it's done. So that's my lame attempt at humor. All right. As far as the bill goes, y'all have heard about stacks for 3 years now. So I'm not going to tell you anything you probably don't know about it. But what I am going to say is that with the House and Senate versions, and I know for a fact that the House and Senate versions were identical, so that what's in there's only one real question about what they're going to do. And that is, obviously, STAX is going to be a crop insurance-based program. There will not be any Title I programs for cotton other than the loan. And the only question right now is whether the loan floor is going to be 47 cents or 45 cents, depending upon whether the Senate or House went out on that one issue. I haven't asked that question because, frankly, the world will end before we get to those levels, probably. So, hopefully, but it is an important issue for this. I mean, the loan is very important for cotton, but those levels are out way out of the range right now. The other thing to make sure and get is that there's no way, based on crop insurance rules, that STAX will be available for the 2014 crop. So there will be something akin to a direct payment. It's not going to be called a direct payment, but some partial direct payment for the 2014 crop for your cotton. And one of the problems that's in all of this is when you take cotton, which had basis, and you move it into all you have is an insurance program, there's a big problem with all the rest of the commodity programs are going to be paid on crop basis as of today. And there's a big problem because if you want to take your cotton ground and move it back into soybeans, what do you do about the base? Well, that's one of the things they've been working on for the last couple of weeks. And I can tell you that cotton will not be disadvantaged in that situation. As far as industry, as far as a producer goes, you'll be able to go and get protection for land that you had previously had cotton base on. If you plant something else, you will have protection on it. So that's a good thing. So as far as the program goes, as long as the insurance program works as it's supposed to, there'll be some safety net for producers. It's really easy to go through and say, well, it works like this, it works like this. I have a quick example, and the main thing is I've taken a couple of steps and thrown them out. But as you can see, I've made a few assumptions on where yields were, and it's a using the higher of a county trend yield or a five-year moving average yield, and it uses crop insurance prices, the announced prices that every other program uses. And so there's not a whole lot of tricks to it. You just have to kind of go through some math. And essentially, once you figure out what your expected is whether these two yields, which one's the higher and which is the higher between the initial insurance price and the harvest time price. And my examples are 80 and 90, could be used anything. And then you decide what range of coverage you're going to get. And basically, I selected 70 here. But the max it could be is the 30% range total. So it's the minimum of that, but it's I use 20%. And then there's a multiplier in here that's basically comes from the GRIP plan. That multiplier is such that if you're a farmer and you've got a lot better yields than the county average, which is what this program uses, if your yields are better than that and you want to insure a little higher, you can use the multiplier to increase that up reflective of your better yields than the county would have. Anyway, you come up with what the maximum it ever could be payment, and then you determine whether there's a loss. In this example, I have a 200-pound yield times the final crop insurance price gives you $180. So you compare that to the initial guarantee times 90% because there is a deductible there, just like all the rest of the crop insurance programs. And if it is below that, then it's 243, which it's 180 is less than 243, so the answer is yes. So there will be a payment made. And then there's some more calculations, and basically the payment would have been bigger, but it hits the max, so it's $54. In that example, you lost, just to make sure you understand, the price moved up from the base price to the harvest. So throughout the year, the price moved up, but your yield was considerably less than you were expecting. So you get a payment of $54. That's all good and fine, and that can be calculated by anybody. One of the things, when you start worrying about cotton has an insurance program, one of the things you have to start thinking about is where is it going to be attacked first? And I can tell you it's already being attacked because all the other crop insurance are being attacked right here. There are a lot of interest groups in Washington. There's a lot of commodity groups, but there's also a lot of interest groups that want to do certain things. And one of them is basically come out with a publication that says we don't need to allow the higher of the base or the harvest. You just need to go off of the base. And in this example, that would have been a big deal. It would have been a big deal. And in most of the other crop insurance, it would have been a big deal. And the reason why they put that in there, you could argue either way, but the reason why it's in there is because when you have crop failures, the value of the crop that you're trying to protect, if you have to go out and replace it, has gone up. And so it's trying to give you some protection against having to spend a lot of money to fulfill a contract if you've been poor contracting. It makes perfect sense, but to some people in Washington who don't like any of this stuff, they want to attack it. So when you look at it, so far so good, but it shows that it paid. But again, this is insurance. I would have had to change the numbers a very small amount, and it wouldn't have paid anything. It would come out, and it would have been, in a producer's eyes, giving you no protection. Well, the good news is if this thing doesn't pay, it's because you didn't have a loss and it wasn't triggered. It's just like every other crop insurance program. It is an area plan, so unfortunately there is a difference between your yields and the county yields, but it's going to be paid off the county here, so there is that small amount of difference, but theoretically if you're in a county, it's going to suffer the loss as well. Big question that everyone has, and this is the part that is up in the air at this point, because of some of the work that we do for Congress, Risk Management Agency shared some of the rates with us, and so I have a little bit more information to provide you. And so just looking at one county in Texas, again, La Mesa, Texas, Dawson County, with that profile that I gave you in that example, their cost would have been somewhere around $5 an acre. And you say, well, why would it be so cheap? Well, the reason why is because it's doing this shallow loss coverage. Your other insurance that you're buying on your farm is covering a much wider area, and it's probably costing you a whole lot more. So what is, this insurance is just covering that little up to 30% band, as they call it. And so something that's 30% shouldn't cost you that much. And so whether this $5 comes out to be the exact number or not, I wouldn't get too excited about that. But it's not going to be too expensive because, one, the subsidy is 80%, and two, you're covering this. This is only covering that small band. So what else do we need to know to do this correctly? You need to know a lot more about futures prices. Now, those of you who are not from Texas, bear with me for a second. Texas is the only state, to my knowledge, that has three different periods where they use different futures. The South uses a different futures contract completely, but the rest of the state uses different days to come up with that initial crop insurance price. The rest of the states, and this is the boring economist spreadsheet that I have that has all of them for, since the beginning of time, but I cut it out. And the way I can tell it when I work in the different states is South Texas uses the October contract, and these are the days that you have to average to determine that price. Depending upon the other state, or Central Texas and then North Texas, could either use this beginning price or this beginning price and this ending price and this ending price. So it matters. Are there some games across those? It's not games, there's just differences. Those futures contracts are not tied directly together. They move together reasonably, but you can look and you get to look at any price. Today, 2011 for South Texas, it was $1.10 beginning and $1.05 ending. If you look over here, it was $1.14 to $1.23 or $1.01 to $1.96. They move differently. Different time periods are going to give you different results. And that's one of the things, as a cotton producer, you're going to have to start paying much more attention to how all this stuff moves for you over time. Nothing wrong with it. If you look at a trend, looking at that kind of middle Texas group and most of the other states in the Southeast, this is how it works. The darker blue bar is the beginning insurance price. The pale blue bar is the ending insurance price. And you can see it moves around. Looking at this differently, if you look at any specific year, if the harvest price exceeds the base exceeds the harvest, it's a positive. If the harvest exceeds the base, it'd be a negative. You can see there's no trend there. It's all over the place. Yeah, there's been some big ones recently, but there's been big on the upside and big on the downside. The fact of the matter is it's based off the futures market, and the futures market moves around. And so that's something that's a consideration when you start looking at this in terms of providing you some protection. The other thing, and then this is a small nuance, but over time, the differences between the beginning and ending has been, at least for that one contract that I've been looking at, has been increasing. And so there's a difference between the beginning and ending that seems to be getting larger. Well, this is going to be one of many, many decisions, because not everybody in this room, there's very few just cotton producers. Well, this farm bill is going to have a choice between all the safety net on Title I for all the other crops. But just take that aside and say that's going to be a headache for another day. But just looking at cotton, the question is this. This is subsidized at 80%. Your other crop insurance is subsidized at somewhat less. So there's a difference there that you have to be cognizant of. And can you take anything from that? Well, the question will be, I can use Texas as an example again. We've got some places out in West Texas that have really, really bad yields. Why? Because they have a lot of risk and they've had bad weather. Well, their crop insurance is significantly higher than someone who doesn't have bad yields because of risk. And in this particular case, that there are producers, and I've done a lot of analysis that look at this. There are producers, not everybody, but there are certain producers who may want to look at buying lower levels of individual buy-up with this. Why? Because this is cheaper, and it's an area plan, and if that top part of that range is going to trigger a loss, it's going to trigger a loss for everybody. So I can't tell you any one person what the – there's no rules of thumb here. Everyone's going to have to look at this. In that regard, we have spent an awful lot of time developing a decision aid that does all this for producers. We've been testing, and we feel like we're pretty well there. And some of the testing we have done shows that specifically in cotton, people may want to look at adjusting their crop insurance, their traditional buy-up programs with this plan. Not everybody, but some might. So it's something to keep in mind. In conclusions, it's really probably, I've probably said a number of dumb things today, but the dumbest thing I'm probably going to say is I think it's going to be soon. If there is absolutely no way that this should drag out any further if they're really serious about getting a farm bill done. End of January is basically the end, because if they don't, we're going to be moving into the new baseline and it's going to change everything. They'll have to go back and redo all the different parameters of the bill. Cotton industry stepped up and to try to fix some things they needed to do because of the cotton case. They stepped up and made some major changes. A lot of people have asked me over time whether I think this is good policy or not. And my answer is, I wish I knew. We can't see the future, but I do know one thing, and this is one thing that's been troublesome to me for quite some time. Every other commodity has essentially a free program that works like this. They don't have to pay the premium. Every other commodity doesn't have the case that the Brazilian cotton case. I got that. But many of them could have had that case if it was just a little bit different circumstances. So that's what's been stuck in my craw for quite some time, but that's not for today's discussion. I do believe that as a producer or farm manager or anything like that, you will want to evaluate whether there's going to be so many choices in this bill. You're going to need to evaluate them, whether you use our tool, you do it by hand, which is, there's about 300 decisions, so good luck with that. You're going to want to evaluate those if you don't want to leave money on the table. With that, I will say thanks. And at some point, I guess later, follow me.
We got time.
Oh, we have questions. Okay. Shoot. Yes.
Joe, kind of a two-part question. I live in a particular county that does not segregate area and drive. We don't have that.
Would you repeat the question, Joe?
Well, he just said a statement. His particular county doesn't segregate irrigated and dry land.
Now he's got a question.
In my county, I would be significantly above suspect. And I guess because of the multiplier, where do you see trends going in situations like that?
It's my understanding that this facet of stacks comes directly from the GRIP policy. I mean, it's the same thing you could get if he had been buying that. And what we know is that nationwide, not too many people buy area plans because they want to cover their own individual risks. Translate that a little bit differently, what we find is the lenders do not want you to buy area plans as much as they want you to buy individual plans, because they want them to cover you, to cover them and their losses. And so, to your specific example, I think that it would be something where you would need to look, because there is a cost. When you use the multiplier, there is a cost to it. But you would need to evaluate that by looking at this multiplier, this is my cost. At this multiplier, I can get this much more benefit, but this is my cost for that. Everyone's going to need to evaluate the decisions, and I think that would be one of many that you need to look at. Any other questions I can kind of go around, sort of answer? No? Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.